Hi, everybody.
And we are going to work on answering a question that came in from a listener. A listener question, which is we always love. So if anybody has any of those out there, if any of you listeners do, please send them in to us. The question is, I had some nice raised beds, but I did not get to growing anything in last summer except for weeds. How should I bring them back into production for next summer? So now I think in our conversation, you're going to hear that there's no one way to do this. There's no one right answer. And Lori and I would probably do it differently. And you're going to probably hear that reflected in our conversation. And it's one of the reasons that we have this garden conversation is so people recognize that there's many ways of doing things, but you're going to hear our perspectives. So let's start out with one of the things that we probably have a little bit of different perspective in that I'm a person who doesn't really like weeding. And so I put a fair amount of energy into keeping weed seeds out. To me, that's my answer. So what I would say to you is go in there now this fall before the snow falls and try to get the weed seeds out. Now, if you can do that with like cutting the weed seeds off, if you can do it with leaving the plant in place, that would be the ideal because I see it as kind of a cover crop. If you can leave the plant and the roots particularly in place. So that's one way of doing it. What about you, Lori? What would you do if you came to a raised bed that had a whole bunch of weeds?
I would weed it with my fork. It depends a little bit on what kind of weeds you have. And if it's a weed that likes to propagate with roots, I'd want to get the roots out of there. So I like a fork, a spading fork. And so I would stick the fork straight down and without inverting the soil, just lift it enough to pull the weeds out, roots and all, shake the soil off, and get them out of there. I would definitely weed the bed this fall. And by the way, the fall is a great time to get your garden ready for the following year. So good job, listener, with that question.
It's a good thinking time about it now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's what I would do.
And so just to be clear, you're using your fork not necessarily to turn that soil up, right?
No, not inverting the soil, but just simply loosening it and lifting it up enough to get the...
And then you'd pull the weeds out?
And I pull the weeds out, but if the soil is sopping wet, then I probably wouldn't do that.
Right.
So it's really harmful, I think, to work the soil if it's so wet that it's making big clods because they turn into rocks the following year. So in that case, I would surrender, do what you're suggesting, consider it a cover crop and address it, I guess, in the spring.
And this year, coming off the year 2023, we've had record amounts of rain, and so there's a good chance that the soil is going to be sopping wet.
Well, at this point, if it's frozen, then you're going to have to weed in the spring.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that's worth mentioning is what you had mentioned. It depends upon the weed. If it's a like Equisetum, or many people know it as mare's tail or horse tail, that has a huge root structure underneath the ground. And I would probably try to dig that out. Another one I'd try to dig out is spruce roots. If you've got a bed that hasn't been grown in for a while, I've run across, them just completely ridden with spruce roots. Not that the roots are bad to have in a bed. I think that I can get kind of anal about that and get all worried about having other roots growing in there. But it can deplete, especially if water is an issue. It can take a lot of water to go water that adjoining spruce tree that you'd rather have for your broccoli or something. So something to consider whether you want to get those out or not.
Right. Yeah, but this simple straight answer is in my garden I would weed it. I'd weed it if I could without doing what I thought was damage to get it ready for next year. And then some depends a little bit on what kind of soil you have too. And that leads to another activity that I would do, either send some soil off for an actual soil test so that you really know what your soil is like, or if you can't do that, try to get a pH test to see if your soil is acidic and needs to be limed. And if it does, I believe the fall is a nice time to do that. And I like the dolomite lime, and I like to sprinkle it on like powdered sugar on a cake.
Cool.
Not too heavy.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do a pH test? That's not in my forte of skills, because I live where I have very alkaline soil, and I know it's that way. But I know that in town, that's not the case. So how do you test it?
Well, I think my personal system's pretty crude, and but what I do is I have a little bit of litmus paper, some pH paper, and I just put a couple of spoonfuls of my soil, you know, get the organic matter off the top if you can, and get down a few inches into what is pretty characteristic soil. And then I just put a few spoonfuls in a mason jar, and I use whatever water I'm going to use to water with. Some mm-hmm. people would say you got to use distilled water, but I don't. I just use my hose water or whatever water I'm going to water with. And I just mix it up and dip the litmus paper in there. And that's been, I feel like I've gotten
fairly accurate.
Accurate enough to know if I feel that I'm going to lime my soil or not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's nowhere near as good as sending off an actual soil test to, you know,
to get a,
yeah,
a
it's
very,
but it's a,
yep.
it's a quick and dirty way to decide whether or not you're going to lime a mm-hmm. bed.
So now lime, I don't know a lot about it, but I have read that lime takes a long, it's slow acting, that it takes a long time. So that's why you're recommending that it gets put on this fall.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm. That's if my understanding, you know, and I mean, I guess after 30 some years of gardening and Southeast Alaska, I start feeling that I know less every year and not more. But that is my understanding, is it takes a little while
a long
for it
time.
To happen. And so it's better to lime in the fall than in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the other thing about that, though, is it depends a little on what you're going to plant in the bed the following year. And specifically, if you're going to put potatoes in, I wouldn't lime because they do better in a little bit more acidic soil. But most garden vegetables like a sweeter...
Slightly.
More
slightly.
Alkaline soil,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
yeah, or more neutral soil.
But there's actually a fair amount of wiggle room in that, amazingly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the pH, I think, is one, it's an easy test, especially if you can do it without sending it in. I do think that it has a lot of valuable information in it for you as to where you should start. And so what about, we touched on it briefly about lifting the soil, or you said that your favorite tool is the fork, and my favorite tool, as many have heard on this program before, is the weasel, I think is what it's called. It's a little twisty thing.
Yeah, I call it the twirly tool.
The twirly tool. I call it the twizzle stick sometimes. It's sold locally in the hardware stores, and it's a tool that you can just loosen the top about 5-6, maybe you can even go as deep as 7-8 inches, but you're getting the top loosened. Would I do that this time of year? I don't know. I guess it would depend upon the situation. But I generally do that in the spring because I feel like our soils get really compacted with the heavy snows. And so I'd probably wait until spring to loosen that top layer. Mm-hmm. And not everybody would agree with this, because there certainly are advocates of no-till. And you can try planting right into your soil without loosening it. You'll see whether that works or not.
I think mm-hmm. with the compaction we get from snow around here, it's hard to do a real purist zero till. I think less till, mm-hmm. and then not turning your soil upside mm-hmm. down, and you know, disturb it as little as possible. Mm-hmm. But I think it's okay to stick your tool in and loosen it up a little bit. In fact, I think it's necessary. And when I was talking about weeding, that's my preferred way to weed. So the point of using the fork this time of year would be just to loosen it enough to get the weeds
out, not because
I mm-hmm. feel like tilling my soil
right.
whatsoever.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. What about soil additions? We're going to run out of time here. And so what about, would you add any soil additions?
I like to seaweed my beds in the fall. I don't think it's, well, I would do that, especially if I wasn't going to cover or tarp my beds, and maybe even do both. I'm not sure about things like compost, manure, you know, even bone meal. forest soil for microbes. I tend to add those things in the spring. I can't say that I really know which is mm-hmm. better.
Right. And I've now, in the last few years, gone to adding compost and seaweed in the fall and letting, because my, I've kind of changed my perspective on this in that I'm feeding the soil, not feeding the plants with those additives, with seaweed and compost, in that I'm wanting it to give time for those microbes to get used to that organic matter and to utilize it, mm-hmm. and seaweed, those trace minerals to go on. Somebody said, I'm going to put seaweed so that the water, the rain can come and wash the nutrients down through the seaweed. And I just don't believe that that's true at all. I do believe that the seaweed needs to decompose in order to be advantageous to the soil. Now, I don't think that that necessarily has to take a long time, because there's that process starts and has all different levels. But I do think that that is where the nutrients come from, the decomposition of it. So
yeah, and giving those microbes something to eat, right? Mm-hmm. Something to do.
Yep.
And then considering whether or not you're going to cover those beds
yeah.
with a tarp or a some kind of a plastic cover to keep the rain and snow from oversaturating and maybe leaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me it would depend on your soil. If it drains really well, then maybe I wouldn't be as worried about
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
In your case, where you really need your soil to dry up and warm up after having a crazy amount of snow on
right.
it.
And one of the reasons I put plastic covers on mine is because we've got a shorter season. You guys in town are oftentimes turning your beds 2 to 3 weeks earlier than we are out here. And so I cover mine with plastic, with clear plastic, so that acts as kind of a little mini greenhouse when the sun comes out in the spring and the snow is gone. It's easier to take the snow off. If we have a late snow year, I have been known to remove the snow, and it's a lot easier if you're taking it off of plastic than if you're taking it off the bed, actually. I don't do that very often, but there's been a couple times that I've done it. So
shovel off your beds.
Shovel off the beds,
that's
yeah.
a lot of enthusiasm,
yeah.
Ardell.
Yeah, well, when it's still, I remember May 20th one year, and I still had snow
oh,
on
yeah.
my beds.
I admit
said,
it.
Okay,
I've done it too.
Got to do it. So I generally don't do it. So. So yeah, covering your beds, I think, is really pros and cons of it. And let's see, we got a few more minutes here. Anything else that you would tell this person that they should or should not do to their beds that are...
I would just say, way to go for thinking about it now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be intimidated. Just because you didn't do a garden one year doesn't mean you're not going to have a great one the following year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do what you can and don't stress over it.
One last thing I see here in my notes, that sometimes what I do is going out into the forest and digging up old trees, soil duff, going into the forest. What that does is it brings in a mycorrhizal element, fungus. And most of our garden plants thrive on a fungus interaction. And so I think that is one option to do, and it's free. It's just
you're
a little
harvesting
bit
microbes basically and yeah. introducing them into your
exactly.
garden
and
soil.
And I believe that because they're natural, they're already here. We're not buying them from a company in a can and bringing them in here, and they may last a little while and they're going to be gone. Instead, I'm bringing them in from the forest. The question is, are they exactly the right microbes? They might not all be exactly the right ones, but I kind of throw a lot of things at my garden beds and hope that some of them stick. So that's kind of my mentality. So, okay, we are about out of time. And so I hope that this answered the question. And for those of you who are thinking about bringing some beds back to life, or oftentimes what I find is somebody moving into a place that used to have garden in a backyard and it mm-hmm. hasn't been done in years, don't be intimidated. You know, you can grow in that. Okay, happy gardening, everyone.